easy-to-follow video instructions, and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-80-
certainly think there is an awful lot of injustice in communist China today. I also think that to the extent that we've built a capitalist economy in China, we have done more not only to make the world stable, because what breeds wars? Wars are bred by instability. Wars are bred by people living in fear. They're bred by famine. They're bred by dictatorships that feel the only way they can move forward is through the use of the sword. Oftentimes, wars are started by weak governments that are trying to prop themselves up.
So you think it's a good idea what we're doing with China, doing everything we can to build up their economy?
I think the world is a better place when everyone can be fed. A quarter of the world lives in China, and having the continued famine that China had in the 70s because of the failure of the communist system, which is always going to fail, would be nothing but breeding instability.
Now, do you think we really have capitalism in China? Do we have fascism? In other words, we have a dictatorship with an enterprise system that works, but it works because you have a profound dictatorship, but everything has to be controlled by the federal government. You do not have individual liberty over there. Or do you think that we do?
There's a certain level of individual economic liberty. There's certainly not religious liberty, which I disagree with. There's certainly not liberty within certain elements of the banking system. They're the Chinese currency.
Our government certainly would set out to destroy the government of South Africa, which was pro-Western, and because we disagreed with them, why, we shut off all trade. We wouldn't even let their athletes to go to the Olympics, you know, until we, of course, replaced the government that they had there with a communist government. Nelson Mandela is a lifelong communist. Mbeki is a communist. And, of course, they're the ones who are supporting Mugabe in Zimbabwe as a communist. I mean, do you really think we have a logical foreign policy?
I think our foreign policy is almost always dictated by a variety of items that cannot always be called logical. However, I do think we do try to have a logical foreign policy, and I would disagree with you in regards to Nelson Mandela. He had to go to the communists for help because Western powers wouldn't help him. When we in the West turn our back on principles for the sake of what was the Soviet-Western Cold War, there are many times throughout that time frame that we turned our back on principles and latched on to folks because we felt we needed them in the balance of power game that we were playing. The fact of the matter is that South Africa right now does have a good economy. It's not a communist economy. They do have more freedom than most parts of Africa. And what was happening with apartheid was unsustainable and was not freedom.
You're absolutely right. I lived in South Africa, and I can attest to that fact. It was improving. They would have straightened it out. Our State Department would let them. How do you feel about the communists that we put in power in Rhodesia, Mugabe? Do you think that was a mistake, or do you think the State Department knew what they were doing?
I don't know that we put Mugabe in power.
We did. I was there at the time.
Okay, it was a mistake. Mugabe is a henchman.
He really is. He's a communist. He's trained in communist. He's being kept in power by the Chinese communists and, of course, with a certain amount of help from the West. We'll be back in just a moment with Eric Roberson. Well, Eric, you mentioned... Go ahead.
Yeah, can we change phone numbers? I'm about to lose my battery here.
All right, fine. I'm going to then put you on hold. And if you'll just hang on, I'm going to put you on hold, and you can give the number there. I'll ask my producer to pick up the telephone. And is my producer out there? And I hope my producer is out there. We'll go ahead and pick up line 6, and then we can let Eric change his telephones. Well, I don't know where my producer is right now. Maybe my producer's gone. All right, let's go back to Eric. Eric, we're going to have to hang on here until our producer gets around. I think they must be playing hooky. Under any circumstances, you mentioned that America was a democracy. Do you really think that America is a democracy? Where in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence and the constitutions of any of our states does it ever say that we're a democracy?
Well, we are a Republican form of government that has democratic elections. There are monarchical republics, that is, republics that will have hereditary senates. There are republics that have elections, and we are a republic that has democratic elections.
Well, no, of course, originally our government was not set up that way at all. As you remember, of course, we did not have direct election of senators. In fact, the founding fathers of America did not want direct election of senators. That was only, of course, changed back in 1913 to take us away from the Republican form of government towards this system that we have today that has very little to do with our Constitution. And I'm going to ask my producer if he wouldn't mind just picking up line 6 and getting your telephone number, and we'll just change numbers. But we'll be back in just a moment with Eric Robertson. And the question is, are we a republic, are we a nation of laws, or can Congress do whatever they want to do? Hang on there, Eric. I want you to answer that question when we get back here at Radio Liberty. Oh, we lost Eric. Are you there? No, we lost Eric. Well, I'm going to ask him. I ask our producer to go ahead and pick up we'll just change them on over. Anyway, these are such important issues. And, of course, the issue I would like to point out is the fact that there is no instance in all history where democracy has not eventually deteriorated into despotism. And the founding fathers of this country, all of them admitted that the worst thing we could do was have a democracy. And so it really, of course, bothers me when I hear politicians talk about our democracy. And, oh, well, we're a republic with a democratic form of government, democratic elections. But that doesn't mean that the politicians can do whatever they want to. And, of course, the thing is, what is the function of government? The function of government is laid out in the Constitution, and, of course, the Constitution limits what government can do. And so when we get back with Eric, we want to find out how he feels about the Constitutions, about the limitations that are placed on our form of government by that Constitution. You see, if we had people in Congress who believed in the Constitution, well, we would not be over there in Afghanistan, and we would not be over in Iraq, because these would be unconstitutional activities. If we had congressmen in Washington, D.C., who believed in the Constitution, we would not have troops stationed in 130 nations throughout the world. And I think that's so vitally important that we get people who believe in our Constitution. And right now, of course, we have Eric Robertson back with us. Robertson back with us here. And we'll be with him and pull our other stations in here in just a moment. And I'm going to ask Eric how he feels about the Constitution. Well, Eric, this is Dr. Stan here. How do you feel about the Constitution? What part does it play in the function of our federal government?
Well, I love the Constitution. It is, you know, when I swore an oath as an officer of the United States Navy, I didn't swear an oath to a president the way the Third Reich Army swore an oath to Hitler. I didn't swear an oath to a king the way most European nations do. I swore an oath to the Constitution and the principles that it upholds.
And what are those? What are those principles that the Constitution does uphold?
Well, there are a variety of principles. Some of the ones that are important to me are the idea of we are a government of laws, not a government of people.
That's very important, and I agree with that totally.
Another one is that the people have the ability to govern themselves, and that the three branches of government are separate but equal, because the way we will maintain the ability for the people to control the government is by not having any one branch get too much power.
I see. And was that the very essence of our Constitution, was the division of power?
The division of power is one of the important essences of it. The idea that the parliament can be a tyrant, as well as the king can be a tyrant, as well as the courts can be a tyrant, but the three together with separation of powers and with respect between the powers should be able to allow the people to have control through the electoral process.
Well, now, wait a minute. The people have control. How are the people? Is it the function of people to control the government, or is it the function of the people to demand that our elected leaders abide by the Constitution and follow its dictates, and specifically the 10th Amendment that says any power is not specifically herein granted to Congress, or given to the given to Congress, or to reserve to the states and the people? How do you feel about the fact that many people feel that the federal government is violating the Constitution by being involved in so many things it shouldn't be involved in? For instance, how do you feel about government control of education or government financing of education? Federal government, I'm speaking of now.
Well, certainly, I understood that. There's a part of the Constitution that's called the General Welfare Clause.
No, wait a minute. Where could you quote that part of the Constitution to me?
I don't have that in front of me, but out of memory, I'll say the Congress has the power to spend for the general welfare.
No, it doesn't. You cannot find that any place in the Constitution. That is, of course, what allows the Congress to do all the things they should not be doing in the name of the general welfare. There are specific things that are listed in the Constitution Congress can do. There are 18 of them. They're listed in Section 8 of Article 1. And anything out that is power that is not specifically given to Congress is to be reserved to the states and the people. So you believe Congress can really do whatever it wants to then?
No, Congress cannot do whatever it wants to, but Congress can spend
for whatever it wants to.
The general welfare.
I see. So what is the general welfare? In other words, you think that they ought to be able to fund agriculture, they ought to be able to fund education, they ought to be able to fund specific industries that they think that should be subsidized? Is that the function of the federal government?
Well, if the people, through their elected representatives, desire policies, for example, agricultural policies that stabilize agricultural prices, then yes, the Congress has the ability, both through the General Welfare Clause and also through the Interstate Commerce Clause, to spend on behalf of agricultural policies.
Why was it that for 150 years all of these things were felt to be unconstitutional, and only recently have the congressmen been smart enough to find out that now they can do whatever they want to, as long as they say we're acting for the people? That's what's wrong with democracy. You see, our founding fathers did not want a democracy because they knew the people would eventually vote themselves into tyranny, and that's why they limited the power of the federal government over the lives of the people.
Well, I would disagree with that statement in two regards.
All right, fine. Where?
Right. First of all, the very first Congress under the Constitution spent for education. My brother teaches as a professor at Miami of Ohio, and that was passed by the people who wrote the Constitution. That university was created with federal tax dollars.
What university was created with federal tax dollars?
Miami University of Ohio.
Miami University of Ohio was created with federal tax dollars by the first Constitution? Well,
by the first Congress.
The first Congress. What they were doing was unconstitutional.
Most of the ones that were in there wrote the Constitution.
No.
Why would they do something that they thought was unconstitutional?
Well, tell us a little bit more about this funding of the university. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. It was part of the Northwest Act.
You're talking about the Northwest Ordinance.
The Northwest Ordinance, yes.
All right, fine. And they specifically put up money for what university?
It's now Miami University of Ohio. It didn't have a name when they passed the budget for it.
And so the federal government started financing education back then?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to have somebody, I hope somebody will go up on the Internet, look that up. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, Eric feels that the government then has the right to finance our education. And how about our health? Should the government provide for our health?
If the people through the parties decide that...
But the people don't decide, the politicians decide. The people really didn't ever vote for Medicare, the people didn't vote for Medi-Cal, the people didn't vote for any of these things. These were all decisions made by the politicians. It goes back to the Johnson administration, the Great Society. But you think it's perfectly all right for them to do it?
if the people elect politicians who get elected by telling the people what we're going to do is we're going to pass this type of item, and if the people vote for it, it is within the general welfare clause, and obviously people can challenge it, and the Supreme Court can say, no, that's outside of the authority of the federal government.
How do you get the people to challenge what the federal government does? Certainly three-quarters of the population of the United States is against the war in Iraq. Does it matter what the people want? Certainly we saw the people in the last election vote for the Democrats. They wanted the Democrats in office because the Republicans had betrayed them. And it didn't matter. The Republicans kept the war going. So do you really think that the people can influence what goes on in Washington, D.C.?
Oh, certainly.
How?
Well, one, through their votes.
I see. Well, let me tell you, have you ever run for Congress before?
No, I haven't.
I have run twice, and I will tell you that this thing is a slam dunk, usually. Of course, what happens was that the politician who's in office always gets reelected, the congressman. When I ran for Congress back in 1988, I think there were probably only one or two of the Republicans who ran for office there, or Democrats, who replaced a sitting incumbent. The way the system is set up, the media does not tell the American people what their politicians, how they vote, and it's almost impossible to get politicians out of office. Now, the Republicans did it back in 1994 by promising, you remember the contract with America?
Sure.
And the people voted for it, and then, of course, the politicians got in, and nothing changed. They accomplished absolutely nothing. But the people voted for the congressman because they really thought things were going to change. They didn't. That was the first time in almost 40 years that you'd be able to get rid of incumbent congressmen, because the people were so fed up with what was going on in Congress, and it really didn't do any good. Because, of course, the people who were leading the Republicans at that time said what the people wanted to hear, and then, of course, carried on much the same as it always had been.
You know, I will agree with you in certain respects that the system is not designed to have a high turnover of representatives in the House or the Senate.
Well,
now, obviously, the Senate electoral body
hold
is
hold that thought for just a moment there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Eric is just saying that he will admit that, although he believes, of course, that the people are going to change things, he also admits that the way the system is set up, it's almost very, very difficult to get rid of an incumbent congressman. Would that be a fair statement, Eric?
And you've got to understand the demographics of how politics work, but that's a true statement of fact in America today.
In other words, it really doesn't matter what the people want. The system sort of runs itself.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say, you know, for example, the people in Utah yesterday did something unbelievable. They kicked out of office a Republican incumbent by a challenger who spent less than $120,000 and who had no staff, because he knew his district, and he knew his district disagreed with the incumbent. He ran on one issue, and the people of that district threw the bum out.
And what was the issue?
The issue was immigration. Now, I happen to disagree with the people of the district, that district, on that, but the people in that district said our incumbent is going to vote the way we want him to, or he's not going to be the incumbent.
How often do you think that happens?
It happens with more regularity now than it used to 5-10 years ago, but it still is not frequent enough.
I agree with you there totally. In other words, what you need is an organized effort to get rid of the congressmen. In fact, I think most of them ought to be voted out of office because they're violating their oath of office. And Congress is doing too much. They have given us the greatest debt of any nation in all the history of mankind. And what's their solution? More and more and more spending. And it's not simply the Republicans or the Democrats. It's both of them. How do you feel about the budget deficit?
Getting rid of the budget deficit and balancing the budget is my most important goal.
But, of course, if you do that, you're going to have to cut back massively on government spending, or are you advocating massive increase in taxation?
I don't think we need to do a massive of either, but we do need to do both. What Bill Clinton did to balance the budget was a very simple thing. He cut the increase in government spending so that government spending was less than 20%, and he increased of GDP, and he increased taxation so that taxation got up from 18% to 19% of GDP. What happened was that historically in the United States, taxation is at 18% of GDP and spending is at 20% of GDP. if you can just make both of them 19, we're not going to overtax the people, and we're not going to get rid of programs that people rely on. Now, the way I would say we shouldn't raise any tax rates, I think we need to get rid of some loopholes. And if we get rid of some loopholes that are too generous, corporate welfare, and we instead, have a flatter, fairer tax system, the net result will be 19% of GDP taxing, 19% of GDP spending. 30 years from now, there'll be no more debt.
And 30 years from now, we may not even have a country. We are the greatest debtor nation in the world. In fact, there's no way, of course, 30 years from now, why the debt of this country will be over $70 trillion, at least according to David Walker, formerly GAO, who was really looking after our funds. We have the greatest debt ever accumulated. We've made all these promises for Social Security, Medicare, and of course, for now the new drug bill. And, of course, even within 15 years or so, why would we be putting out more on interest on the national debt than we'll be actually, spending on the military or anything else? In fact, it said that, we're going to have to raise taxes about 80% if we're going to be able to fund all of these giveaway programs. How do you feel about Medicare and Social Security, the fact that they are not funded and there's no money there to take care of them in the years that lie ahead?
Well, if you take a look at the budget right now, and you take a look at the budget projections, if we don't correct the course of state, within 10 to 15 years, depending on who you believe, our entire federal budget will be made up of only three programs, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid.
Right.
That is unsustainable. Right now, 9 cents out of every tax dollar, federal tax dollar you spend goes to pay the debt. If we don't correct that, that's going to increase to 14%. We'll have to raise our taxes to European levels or drastically cut programs if we sit around and allow our politicians to not act appropriately.
Well, how are you going to get them to act appropriately?
Well, there's a group of Democrats called the Blue Dog Democrats, and they have enforced a budgetary program that's called Pay As You Go. Out here in Texas, we've got a simple rule that says if you're in a hole, the first rule is stop digging. And what pay-as-you-go does is it says before there can be any new government spending, you've got to pay for it either by removing government waste or by admitting and being an adult and saying, this program is worth a new tax, and I'm going to go back to the people in my district and say, I raised your taxes, and I think you wanted a new bridge here or you wanted a new road or you wanted something else, and give the people the opportunity to say yes or no to that. And since PAYGO has been implemented by the Democratic Party, what's happened is 75% of new government programs have come from removing waste. And the other 25%, the majority of the new spending has been denied because they couldn't find a way to pay for it. And only twice has there been any type of tax increase.
Well, it looks to me, if you really look, of course, what's happening as far as the budget is concerned, and you realize, of course, we steal all the money from Social Security and Medicare. It's supposed to go into some sort of special fund, but there's no money in the fund. We're running at the present time $500 to $600 billion deficit a year. Is that the end result of the Blue Dog Democrats, or is that those irresponsible Republicans have done it, or is it all of them working together?
Well, I think it's all of them working together. There are 235 Democrats in the House and 199 Republicans right now. We've got one seat that needs to be filled. And so you take a look at that. It takes them all. It takes the whole group. The fact of the matter is that the Republicans want to borrow and spend, and the Democrats want to tax and spend.
Right. That's a great line. I think you're absolutely right. Go ahead.
And so what we've got to do is we've got to sit there and say, adults balance their budget. Adults plan for the future. Adults take a look at the mountain ahead, and if they're flying a plane, they pull the stick back and raise the power before they hit the side of the mountain. Right now we have a group of politicians that aren't willing to plan ahead, and we've got to do something about it.
Well, what about cutting spending? What about cutting the money for the military? I mean, we spend more money on the military in the United States than all the rest of the countries in the world put together. Do you think that we need a military that powerful when we're told there's no enemies in the world? Communism isn't the enemy anymore. In fact, the only person whose real enemy is Osama bin Laden hiding in a cave over there in Pakistan and a few straggly Al-Qaeda fighters over there in Iraq. Why do we need such a powerful military? Are we building an empire, and is that the secret that's being kept from the American people?
Well, I don't think we're building an empire because I don't think we're an imperial people, and I don't think we're an imperial nation. The fact of the matter is, though, we are the only remaining superpower in the world, and I believe having a strong military is an investment in the future stability of the world.
How do you feel about the Military Commission Act and the John Warner, Defense Appropriation Act that allows, the federal government to do away the Posse Comitatus Act here in the United States and to use federal troops and National Guard troops against the American people? Are you for or against that legislation that passed in October of 2006?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Well, of course, Patrick Leahy is, of course, a liberal senator, has said this is the blueprint for dictatorship. The Military Commission Act and, of course, the John Warner Defense Appropriation Act and the following year of the Presidential and National Security Directives lay out a blueprint for the establishment of a dictatorship in the case of a national emergency or an epidemic or an economic upheaval. And of course, that would, of course, and the president has the right to use American troops against the American people. How do you feel about that? Should we allow that? Or should we, of course, demand we get back to the Posse Comitatus Act, which outlaws the use of the troops against the American people?
Well, I'm going to have to admit neither of those acts are very familiar with me. I'll say this. If this is a post-Katrina law that was designed because too many people died in New Orleans because the governor of Louisiana did not allow federal troops to come into her cities, I certainly understand why folks would be interested in changing the provisions of that law.
But of course the people had nothing to do with it. This was pushed through by the Bush administration. The people didn't want it. It was the politicians who really run both political parties who wanted that. This is not the people's doing. I think most people, at least to listen to our program, are incensed that they've done away with the Posse Comitatus Act.
Well, I would say, I'm an incredibly politically active person and have been since 12, and I've never heard of either of those items.
Never heard of the Posse Comitatus Act?
I'm ignorant of them.
Well, let me tell you, I've been at this game for almost 80 years. And I will tell you that anybody who knows anything about freedom and the history of our nation and oppression knows about the Posse Comitatus Act. I hope you'll go and Google in Posse Comitatus and read the history of that. It's certainly available on Wikipedia. It was one of the things that was passed immediately after the Civil War to be sure that we would never have a tyranny in America. And the fact it was recently repealed, you have to question then what the agenda of the Bush administration really is.
Well, I think if this is the law that says the president cannot send federal troops into a state without the governor's permission, then I think what probably happened here was some short-sightedness after Katrina, where the governor of Louisiana didn't let the 82nd Airborne come into New Orleans. And quite frankly, I was ready to, me and my boss, we were ready to load up our pickup trucks full of water and drive straight into the Superdome ourselves.
Well, you wouldn't have been allowed to because FEMA would not allow people from other areas to come and bring supplies. They would not allow people to come in with boats or with motorboats or any sort of boats to rescue the people there. FEMA took over and blocked the efforts to rescue the people there. That was a great tragedy. And people did go down there with whole truckloads of water, and they weren't allowed to go in by FEMA. By the federal interference in what was going on there.
No, I agree with you. It was a shame, and again, that's one of the reasons why I'm not a Republican anymore, because lately the Republican Party seems to promote people based more on loyalty and ideology than on competence.
And do you think the Democrats are any different?
Yeah, I do. And here's why. When I was on Capitol Hill last week talking to the Blue Dog Democrats, one of the things they said was that they were not penalized for voting their conscience. And I happen to know several Republicans who have told me directly, and these are state house Republicans, that if you do not vote the party line, you will have your power removed from you.
And I'm sure this is actually the case, but I suspect it is the case also in the Democratic Party. I cannot imagine that the Democrats have never punished people who did not go along with their agenda. But maybe I'm mistaken.
Well, I wouldn't say never. The fact is that there are going to be times and places where the party establishment will say, sooner or later, you have to be with us. The fact of the matter is from Tip O'Neill to beforehand Cactus Jack Garner, the different folks that have been powerful in the Democratic Party through the decades. One of the things about the history of the Democratic Party is that it has allowed Southerners and Westerners to be much more conservative and to vote their district. And that type of freedom has to be understood, because there's not just two political thoughts, and I do have to agree that you and I have very different political ideas, but we both agree in the idea of freedom and liberty.
Right, but you can't have a liberty if you have an all-powerful government that can provide for you from the cradle to the grave, because any government that can provide for you from the cradle to the grave has got to be able to control you from the cradle to the grave. And you can't have liberty with an all-powerful central government, which is, of course, what some of the Democrats want. Now, I'm sure that there's some of them who are conservative Democrats, going out of the tradition of, you know, of the yellow dog Democrats. You know, I'd rather be a vote for yellow dog than vote for a Republican. And, of course, these were conservative Democrats there. But, unfortunately, we've lost sight of what America was about. America was originally free because we limited the power of the federal government. And once we take those chains off of the government, as Jefferson said, we'll take the chains off of the people and put them onto government. And now, of course, take the chains off of government and putting them on the people. And believe me, of course, we are setting up a system, in, I believe, of informers in America. We have something called Project Echelon. And you can look this up on the Internet if you doubt what I say. Project Echelon, E-C-H-E-L-O-N, has allowed the federal government to listen to every one of your telephone calls, your emails, and your faxes. Going back, you know, 20, 30 years, you're never going to read about this in the newspaper, but it's really true. They have a system of informants. They're collecting dossiers on every American citizen. I'm very worried about the survival of freedom in America, especially when the president now has the ability to suspend the Constitution and suspend habeas corpus and round people up if there's such a national emergency. And certainly I'm very concerned with George Bush in the White House, but I would be concerned with anybody with that sort of power, Democrat or Republican, would you?
Well, I have stood up for the Supreme Court's habeas corpus decision. One of the reasons I'm not a Republican anymore is they felt that separation of powers only mattered when the Democrats had the power. I believe that as someone who loves liberty, that if your party is violating the dictates of your conscience or your understanding of the Constitution, that it's your obligation to the nation and to your citizens and to the Constitution to stand up for them. Now, I have not heard of Project Echelon, and I just quite frankly do not believe that there is a program out there that does that type of thing.
Would you promise me one thing?
Oh, yeah.
You get on your computer and look up Project Echelon. Look up the Posse Comitatus Act and the Military Commission Act, and then go to RadioLiberty.com, which is my website, and read some of my newsletters or watch some of my talks that are there free on DVD. We don't charge people to go up there. And you might even want to listen once in a while, and you can call in and argue with me if you want to. I used to be a flaming liberal, so I know where you're coming from. I used to believe that the government could solve all of our problems, and what we needed was more government programs. I'm a physician. I went, actually, when I came to town where I live today, I used to push ideas of socialized medicine. The old doctors would look at me and shake their heads and I'd look back, and they were right and I was wrong. But there's no problem facing America today that a new government program won't make worse. The only thing government does well is war. We're a very efficient war. We certainly destroyed the infrastructure of Iraq. We've destroyed the infrastructure of Afghanistan. But, of course, we're running out of money. One of these days, we're not even able to fill in our own potholes and rebuild our own infrastructure. We're spending our money all throughout the world. Hang on there for just a moment, Eric. Would you like to get your website out, a telephone number?
Certainly. It's ericrobertson.org.
Go ahead. And ericrobertson.org is your website.
Right.
And, of course, anybody would like to get in touch, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, the best way would be through email at enroberson@yahoo.com. And there's no T in Roberson, but otherwise you spell it like there is.
We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, Eric, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program, and I won't say anything.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. You know, we've got a marvelous country, and one of the things that's great about this country is that we do have a wide variety of individual liberties. One of the things that is so difficult is trying to figure out how 300 million people live together that brings the greatest peace and the greatest prosperity. There are some out there that would say that no government at all should exist. There are some out there that says would say that a government is the answer to everything. I think we take a look at life in a modern world, and we realize that we need government, and we need government that is restrained. We need government that is reasoned. We need government that is efficient. There are certain things that even during the time of the Founding Fathers, the government had to do. In a much more modern world, a much more complicated world, a much more complex world, unfortunately, government has to do more. You know, we're listening to this on radio right now, and the government divides up the radio frequencies. The airwaves belong to the people, but the government divides them up because otherwise the person with the most powerful transmitter would just blast over everyone else. And we'd have anarchy. As the world has gotten more complicated, there are new ways that tyranny can exist, and there are new ways that liberty can be, the flames of liberty can be put out. But I don't think that the answer is to do away with government. The answer is to make sure that the government is responsive to the people. We need a government that has a balanced budget. We need a government that listens to the people and has, for example, we talked about congressional districts. It is a shame that the majority of congressional districts in this country are not in play every 2 years. If we had districts that weren't gerrymandered but that were freely drawn so that it was competitive, we'd have more responsive government. I believe in a centrist, practical, pragmatic policies. I think most people would pay their taxes happily if they knew their government wasn't wasting the money, but instead was spending it on good roads. And we have people that say, well, I built myself up by myself, by my own hard work. And, for example, my uncle who had a trucking company.
Well, I've got to have to let you go. We're out of time, but I hope you'll go to my website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And look at some of the DVDs, specifically the one on the Brotherhood of Darkness, which is, well, may very well blow your mind. Good night. God bless. Thanks so much. Good luck.
Thank you. You bet. EricRobertson.org. Thank you. Bye.
Well, that was Dr. Stan. Our guest was Eric Robertson, and he's running as a Democrat against a conservative Republican. The conservative Republican will probably be in trouble because he's backing the war and backing the Bush administration, and, of course, he's going right along with the agenda. And I don't know what the solution is. The solution is not people who believe that the government should solve all of our problems, that the government's responsible to the people. It is not responsible to the people. The media is controlled. The five mega corporations control 90% to 95% of the medium. AOL, Time Warner, Bertelsmann, Sydney, Viacom, Disney, and Fox. 90% to 95% of the major media outlets, covered in a book called The New Media Monopoly by Ben Bekdakian, Professor Ben Bekdakian. And, of course, behind them are the secret societies and secret organizations, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Club of Rome, certainly the Trilateral Commission. And then, of course, the next tier is the Masons, the Theosophists, the Lucis Trust, the Rosicrucians, and the family and Opus Dei and the New Age movement, and we could go on and on and on. But we do not, or we no longer, have a free society. There are secret organizations working at the upper echelons of our government. Most people don't even know about the Gnostic religion. They certainly are not being, things are not being taught in our churches today. People don't understand the Rosicrucian beliefs and, of course, the influence they had in the formation of our society. To get more information on this, let me suggest the DVD, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. And then, of course, the sequel to that, these are very professionally done DVDs. The sequel to that would be entitled Riddles in Stone. And then, of course, we have two more videos done by Chris Pinto, who did these two I just mentioned. Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2, very important videos. And then, of course, if you haven't seen Joe Simmel's, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll. You need to get that, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version, to understand why many of our politicians and people of great wealth do what they're doing. And then, of course, you need to get Joe Simmel's excellent DVD, the Da Vinci Con. The Da Vinci Con, a takeoff on the Da Vinci Code, because, of course, this gets into the Gnostic influence in Hollywood that most people don't even recognize. So we do hope that you'll want to get this sort of information, and then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get my talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a forbidden secret out there, and you can't understand why we're really fighting in Iraq or why we're really fighting in Afghanistan unless you understand that there is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years that has recently been popularized by Oprah Winfrey and certainly by Larry King and by Jim Carrey and others. What is that secret? Well, it's very, very simple. It's the fact that you are God. You are divine because, of course, you are in tune with a real God, not the God of the Bible. You must understand, and this is what they never teach in our churches, is that there is a belief in another God. That was the Gnostic beliefs, and that was the beliefs, certainly, of the Kabbalah, of the Babylonian mysteries from which the Kabbalah came, and then tracing that all the way back to the mystery, ancient mysteries of Babylon. And so we do hope that you want to get this information and understand what's going on. Go to our website at radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com. And, of course, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you get the talk on the forbidden secret, why you want to get the syllabus, you really need to get our talk on the planned police state, because they are planning a police state in America. Because behind what's going on are powerful spirits and forces that hate freedom and hate Christianity. That's why you want to get the planned police state DVD and then the syllabus that goes with that. And then, of course, we hope that you're going to help us get this information out across America. You have the ability to do that. I can only reach so many people every day. At our website, you can listen to our programs 9 hours a day. But I can't do much more than that. So please pray for America. Pray for revival. But pray for Radio Liberty. For our provision and our protection. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.